but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Father, I pray that you would bless the rest of the service. Lord, I thank you for each one here. Lord, I pray that you would just impress upon our heart, Lord, the wonderful salvation that you have wrought. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here in Romans 4, verse number 25, we're told that Jesus was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. As we consider this morning the resurrection of Christ, it is a cardinal doctrine of our faith. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, that if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. You are yet in your sins. In 1 Peter 1, verse 21, it says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Without the resurrection of Christ, we'd have no hope. We'd have nothing to base our hope upon. We'd have no evidence of the recognition of God that Christ's sacrifice for us was accepted. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This morning as we listen to the gospel, the good news of Christ's death, of his burial, and his resurrection, today we have hope. And that hope is not like the world's hope, that, oh, I sure hope this pandemic gets over soon. I sure hope we can go back living to normal lives soon. Listen, last year at this time, we were meeting in the parking lot. And that was the world's hope then. Well, I sure hope this ends soon. Hasn't ended yet. But our hope is not that kind of hope. Our hope is a confident expectation. Our hope is sure and steadfast. Christ has died, and with the resurrection of Christ, we see the accomplishment of his work. With the resurrection of Christ, we are assured of the acceptance of the Father of Christ's work and the assurance of our own salvation, of our own resurrection. In Isaiah 26, verse 19, it says, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they rise. Awake and seeing ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall be cast, and the earth shall cast out the dead. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14 says, God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. And 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. One of the greatest questions that men have, and one that was addressed in the dialogue of the Cantata, was the basic question that every man has, even the atheist has, that claims to not believe in God, but in his heart knows that there is a God. The basic question is, how can I be right with God? How can I be right with God? Specifically, how can a sinful man be just with God? Because sin is in every aspect of our life, and sin in every respect is against God. So how can we who commit sin on a continual basis, how can we who are, the Bible describes that we are against God, how can we be right with him? And the answer is, on our own, we can't. It's impossible. The Bible says in Romans 1, verse 18, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Without the Word of God, without the Holy Spirit of God working through his Word, we would never truly understand the seriousness of the condition that we're in. God's wrath against us. And so when we come to a verse such as verse number 25 of Romans 4 that says that Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, that's an amazing statement. How can we be justified? How can we have this justification? How can a sinful man become just with God? We consider what is justification. It doesn't mean that we're made good, that we're made holy, that we're made upright. When we justify someone, we're not making them good. When a judge justifies an accused person, he's not making that person good and holy. He's just saying he was accused of a crime against the law, and I'm proclaiming that he is just from the law, from that accusation. When God justifies us, in Deuteronomy 25, verse 1, the Bible says that if there be a controversy between men and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. And that's what we expect of judges. When people come before a judge, that the one that's in the right, the judge will justify them. And the one that's in the wrong, the judge will condemn them. But the Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 15, that he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. And the Bible says that he that justifieth the wicked, that it's an abomination to the Lord. How can we be just? How can we be just? The answer, if you turn back to Romans 3, is found in this text. In verse number 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all of them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Jesus Christ came to this earth and he lived an absolutely perfect life. But the Bible says that he became sin for us, that God took your sin, God took my sin and put it upon his son. And there on the cross, God poured out his wrath upon his son, not for his son's sake, not for the sins of his son. His son had no sin. He poured out his wrath upon his son. The Bible says that he crushed his son because of your sin. God poured out his wrath on Christ because of your sin and because of my sin. And when he suffered there for sin, the Bible says there in Isaiah 53 that God looked upon that and was satisfied. His wrath was appeased. So now when we come to God for salvation, we understand the gospel that Christ died for my sin personally. He died for me and he was buried and he rose again the third day for me, for my sin. And I come to him in repentance and faith that God can be just and justify me. He takes Christ's righteousness and he puts that on my account and he declares me innocent. I get the title of the Son of God. But that title, that privilege is only to those that believe in the name of the Son of God, that trust him, that rely upon him, rely upon what he's done for us on the cross. You've heard the gospel this morning. If you're here this morning, you're saved. It was a blessing to you. We sing that song, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. We love hearing the old story as God's people. But if you're here this morning and you're lost, God's dealing with your heart about your sin. God's dealing with your heart about what Christ did for you there on the cross. Listen, will you come to him this morning? Will you trust him as your Lord and Savior? Will you turn from your sin and turn to Christ? There's nothing that you can do to earn salvation. Here in a little bit, we're going to have a baptism. That baptism does not wash away sin. That baptism has nothing to do with the salvation of the one being baptized. That one is already saved. They're already forgiven. They're already justified. If they should die before the baptism ever takes place, if the tornado should come and the roof fall in, and the only person killed is that one person, you'll see him in paradise. You'll see him in heaven. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation, but it's a picture of the gospel that Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again. You can't do anything for salvation. You can't perform enough good works. You can't be baptized enough. You can't give enough money. Your soul is worth far greater than all the riches of the whole world. So what could you give in exchange for your soul? How much could you pay? Listen, there's nothing that you can pay. The poorest person on earth and the richest person on earth, they have to come to Christ the same way. Salvation is received the exact same way through repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're lost, repent and believe the gospel. Let go of your self-righteousness. Let go of your religion. Let go of whatever it is that you're trusting in for salvation. Let go of that and turn to God. Turn to Him before it's eternally too late. Let's all stand together this morning, and we're going to have an invitational hymn.